everybody. Welcome to the Promised Land. Anybody here in the Promised Land today? Yeah, welcome to the Promised Land. Y'all, we've got some Texas State students in the house. This is awesome. We love our Texas State students. Thank y'all for coming here today. We want you to meet our pastor, our student pastor. Albert Lede is in the back there. He's running lyrics today. He's awesome. So we want you to know that Promised Land is a place where you can get connected, where you can find family away from when you're away from home. This is a place to get connected. So we would love for you to connect with Albert after service. He'll be back there waiting for y'all to connect with you. Would love, just love to connect with you. Speaking of just going out and doing awesome things, we had 32 people head down to Victoria to help with the flood down there. They just went down Saturday. Y'all, this was the dream team. These guys went down there and they just poured out the love of God on basically one house. They went to this one house and God just did some amazing things. I heard so many stories, but they went and they helped fix the roof. They just fixed all kinds of stuff. There was so much damage from that storm that this team went down there and did that. And it was because of your giving that was possible, that we were able to take 2 busloads of people down to Victoria and show the love of God. So let's just give God a hand for that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So many cool testimonies from that. And I also want to welcome our folks that are watching online today. You may be watching this on Facebook Live. You might be watching this from our website or listening to a podcast. But we are so thankful for our online family. And if you're watching this on Facebook Live, be careful because you might see something pop up and you want to go on down in the feed. Just stay where you are. I believe that God has a message for you today that he wants you to hear. So let's give our online folks a hand this morning. And today we are continuing the sermon series called Photobomb. Who was here last week when Pastor Robin kicked off the sermon series Photobomb? What is a photobomb? A photobomb is when somebody's just minding their own business and they're getting a picture taken of them, and then all of a sudden somebody jumps into the frame and sneaks into a picture, and it's usually somebody making a weird face, somebody that's completely outside of normal that would jump in and photobomb. Honestly, folks that photobomb are weirdos. Any photobombers in here? Any weirdos? No, but they photobomb a picture. They'll jump into the frame last second, and, you know, the person has no idea that somebody's been photobombing them. They'll go back and they'll look at that picture and like, who is this guy in my photo? And so I'm too nice of a guy to photobomb anybody's picture. I would like, if I photobomb anybody's picture, I'd say, I'm so sorry. I'm a weirdo. Forgive me for interrupting your photo. I would feel so bad. But some of y'all apparently just have no problem whatsoever ruining somebody's photos. But I got a couple photo bombs for you, pictures. One of them is the most famous photo bomb ever. Take a look at this. Y'all, that's the President Barack Obama, the Prime Minister of England, and look who's photobombing them. That's Vladimir Putin, the Russian president. He's photobombing Obama. Oh, I got you, Obama. That was my worst Russian accent. But y'all, that's the most famous photo bomb ever. Can you imagine being photobombed by Vladimir Putin? That's just so cool to me. And, you know, I actually found a photo when I was going through looking for some photo bombs that my wife and I were photobombed. That's actually Pastor Mike and Irene. Look at Mike in that cowboy hat. But take a look at the 2 guys behind us. They photobombed our picture. They're like, hey. They just inserted themselves into the frame. They were kind of behind us, but they really did make themselves a part of that picture. But my favorite photobombs, honestly, the ones that I find the most funny, is when an animal photobombs a picture. Check out this next pic. This is my favorite picture. Look at that seal. Yeah, that seal done photobombed those penguins. He's like, hey. Look at his face. He's just photobombed. That is the best picture ever. That seal, I want to know that seal. I want to be friends with that seal. That has to be the coolest seal ever. He just photobombed. That's so funny. Another one, there's a great picture of a camel photobombing. Check out this next one. Look at this camel. He's smiling just like these guys. Photobomb. Camel. Photobomb. Hilarious. I love that. But you know, there's some of my the favorite photo bombs are when we're just not aware of what's happening in the background. And so what does photo bomb have to do? What does this sermon series have to do with God? What does it have to do with the sermon? Why are we talking about photo bombing? Because photo bombing has everything to do with the gospel. And if we think about our lives as a photo album, and we were to go back and look at the frames of our life, the pictures of our lives, if we were to go back and our whole life was a photo album, we would see some amazing pictures in there. We would look at pictures like, oh, that's the birth of my son. Oh, this is the birth of my daughters. These were the highs. Man, these are pictures that are just, we love. There's some pictures in there that are just so awesome of our life. Like the picture of when we were taking our daughter to college, and just, man, it was amazing. But then there'd be pictures that were sad, like the next day, us waking up and knowing that our daughter was off far away out of school and that she wasn't in our house anymore. We were sad and we didn't hear her music filling the house anymore. We also look at pictures in our lives where we see just struggles and times that we face really, really tough situations. Those pictures are painful. There's also pictures of our life where we see, where we don't want anybody on earth to see it. Like, oh, I wish I could just take that picture, take that frame and crumple it up and throw it away. But whether we like it or not, these frames, these photos, these pictures are who we are. It's our life. It's everything we are. We're the sum total of all our experiences, our life. If we were to look at our lives that way, there are some times where we are aware of God in our lives. And there's some times we're like, God, where are you? But what I want to tell you today, and I want to give you hope, that in the background of every photo, of every frame of your life, that God was there. That God was there. And that's whether you saw him or not in the details. God was there in the good times and the bad times. But he was there the entire time. In fact, one of the first photos was probably a sonogram. Did you know that God was there? The Bible says he formed us in our mother's womb. God photobombed us. And so from the beginning, before we were even conceived, God knew of us. He had a plan for us. And God is there in the background, even when we don't live for him. Even when we run away from God. Even when we ignore God. God is in the picture. Sometimes we see it, and sometimes we don't. But if we look really close, you'll see in every frame of your life that Jesus was there. In fact, I even have a photo that proves it. Look at that. I don't know who these people are, but Jesus is in the picture. Jesus just photobombed these people. That is awesome. That picture actually summarizes this entire sermon series. If you could just see, no matter what the photo, no matter what the frame, no matter what the picture, Jesus is there. He may not look like that, but he's there in the picture. That is a perfect photo. That's awesome. Jesus just photobombed that picture. And so one of my favorite photobombs in the Bible is the story of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. Saul was born in early on. He was born just a few years after the crucifixion of Jesus. He was a Jew. He was incredibly educated. Saul of Tarsus sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was one of the premier teachers of the law in the first century. He was like the rabbi of rabbis. Saul was this incredibly educated man. And the first time that we see Saul of Tarsus was in the 7th chapter of Acts. In fact, the first time we see Saul, it was a very ugly scene. There was a young man named Stephen, and Stephen was preaching mightily. And the crowd got so angry at Stephen. He was a believer. He was preaching about Jesus, and he said, "You crucified this Jesus." He was very bold. But they got so angry that they dragged Stephen out of town, and they began to stone him to death. And before they stoned him to death, the people that were about to execute him took off their clothes, their cloaks, and they laid their cloaks down at Saul of Tarsus' feet. And Saul commended them and said, go and do it. He was right there. And so it was an ugly scene. There was this great persecution of the church, and Saul of Tarsus was right there in the middle of it all. And let me read in Acts chapter 1, chapter 8, verse 1. It said, Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. And a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers, except the apostles, were scattered through the region of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. And so Saul wasn't satisfied with the progress. Saul wanted more. Saul was very zealous. And here's the thing about Saul. Saul thought that he was doing the work of the Lord. He was a Jew, and he thought these Christians were just creating a mess for the Jewish faith. And so he was going to put a stop to these rebel rousers. He was going to put a stop to it, and so he was casting them in prison. He was wreaking havoc on the church. And Saul of Tarsus was a big, bad, scary person to a believer back then. And so he wasn't satisfied with the progress, so he was actually going to get letters from the leaders at the time. He wanted the authority to bring every believer and all the disciples bound and chained to throw into prison in Jerusalem. And so this next bit of scripture in Acts chapter 9 talks about something that happens to Saul on his way to get those letters. It says, as he was approaching Damascus on that mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. Boom, photobomb. He saw a camera flash from God. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And so the people around him, he had his entourage with him. The people that were around Saul heard this great voice. They saw this flash of light, but they couldn't see who it was. They were speechless. And so they helped Saul up off of the ground, and they led him into the city. They led a blind Saul into the city. And that in that city, Saul prayed for 3 days. And at the very same time, God spoke to a man named Ananias. And Ananias was just a believer at the time. It doesn't tell us much else about Ananias. But basically, God said to Ananias, Ananias, I want you to go to a street called Straight, where you're going to meet a man named Saul. And you're going to go and pray for that man, Saul. And that man is going to receive his sight. You're also going to baptize him, and he's going to be filled with my spirit. And basically, Ananias said, wait a minute. Are you talking about Saul of Tarsus? The Saul of Tarsus, the one in the newspapers, the one that's wreaking havoc in the churches, the one that's casting people into prison, the very same Saul of Tarsus that basically said it was okay to stone Stephen to death. And God said, yes, the same Saul of Tarsus. And he said, Ananias, get up and go. And Ananias did. And he goes and he meets Saul of Tarsus on a street called Straight. And the first thing he said to him is, Brother Saul, God has asked me to come to you and pray for you. And Ananias laid his hands on Saul, and immediately Saul received his sight. It was a miracle. And then also he baptized Saul, and Saul was filled with his spirit. And God told Ananias that this same Saul is going to be used in a very mighty way to spread my message. It's very powerful, very powerful. But God used Ananias to photobomb Saul of Tarsus. And so now we see this picture developing that, wait a minute, you mean God, you were there the whole time? You see, if you were a believer back then, when Saul of Tarsus was wreaking havoc in the church, you would sometimes probably feel very alone. Wait a minute, God, where are you? This guy, Saul of Tarsus, he just killed Stephen. He's wreaking havoc on the church. He's dragging people away to prison. God, where are you in this situation? And so something that God showed me here is when Saul said, "Who are you?" Jesus said, "It is I, Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Now listen to this for a second. You got to get this. You have to understand that Saul was born after Jesus was crucified. And if you look at the timeline, it doesn't add up. How did Saul persecute Jesus when Jesus had already gone to the cross and ascended up into heaven? Saul, how did you persecute Jesus? And Jesus says, it was you. You were persecuting me because I was with Stephen. I was with every one of those believers. I was with them. I was in their life. I was in their situation. When it looked like all was lost, I had a plan. And so I want to tell you today that your situation may look dark. It may be very hard for you to see how God is working in your situation. But I want you to know that God is there working on your behalf. You may not see him. The frame may look really dark. It might look like you're alone. It might look like God is not paying attention, but I want you to know this, that you can trust God further than you can see him. And so you may have, your relationships may be on the rocks. You may be facing persecution at work. You may be dealing with people that are wronging you, but I want you to know that they are persecuting Jesus. Because Jesus is with you and Jesus is for you. And God wants us to identify the fact that he is in the frame with us. You're not alone. We serve him and his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you realize that? That God is in every frame of our lives. Every frame. And here's the truth. No matter how hard you try, even if you run from God, there's a statement that you can't get God out of the picture. I don't care how far you run. I don't care if you're a Saul of Tarsus and you're wreaking havoc in everyone's life. God is there and he wants to be in the picture. And so I'm saying this to some folks that may have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. You may have somebody that you have been praying for a long time. Somebody, maybe a brother, maybe a sister, but you've been praying for them and they're out there making a huge mess. They're like a Saul of Tarsus, just wreaking havoc on the family. There's some people that I'm preaching to today, but they're making a mess. And you're asking God, how on earth, God, can you get any glory in this situation? But I want to tell you that we serve a God that is all-knowing, that is all-powerful. I'm going to use some $5 Christian words here, but we serve a God that's omniscient, which means that he knows everything. When we only know 1, 2, and 3, he knows from 3 to infinity. We serve a God that knows the end before the beginning. We serve a God that calleth things that be not as though they were. And so there are things that we may not know. We don't know how things are going to add up. We don't know how that person's going to come back to God. But he does. And he has a plan. And you might be the one that's running from God. I'm going to tell you right now, God is going to photobomb you. And so you might have to be, just like Saul of Tarsus, God had to take things in his own hands. Saul's here basically walking down the road and Jesus had to go, boom, knock him off his horse. I'll tell you, sometimes God needs to knock us off our horse. There's sometimes we get really hard-headed and hard-hearted, and it takes God just knocking us down and realizing that when we come to the end of ourselves, that's when we need God the most. And so you just can't get God out of the picture. He's in the picture, and he's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your life. But we need to recognize that God is there. Am I preaching to anyone here today? But But the beautiful thing about God is God uses other people to photobomb other people. God uses messed up people like you and me. But he uses messed up people like you and me to show the love of God to other people. He could have done everything himself with Saul of Tarsus. But he chose to use Ananias, a believer, that came when nobody else would, to came around Saul of Tarsus. And here's what he said. The first thing that Ananias says to Saul, and I love this, he said, "Brother Saul." And so I got to tell you, something happened in Ananias' heart before he reached that door. There had to be some forgiveness. He had to come to some terms with some things in his heart. Those were his friends being thrown into prison. Stephen was a friend that was murdered. And so there might be somebody in your life that God is asking you to forgive because he's got something for you to do. And you can't go and do that thing until you let that go. Until you give that back to God. And I don't know who that's for, but you might have to let something go because God wants to do a work. And God works. God works. God works in forgiveness. And so we can trust God further than we see him. And I want to tell you, there's a story that about 14 years ago, and I won't go into a really long story here, but about 14 years ago, Tabitha and I, my wife Tabitha and I, came to Promised Land 14 years ago. And we came from a church that was, there was around 50 people in our church, and it was a storefront church, a real small group of people, and we left that church because we had what was called a church split. And what a church split is essentially that the entire church fell apart. It's like a nuclear explosion went off in that church and people lost their minds. And we got so hurt. There was just all kinds of stuff going on. People were being mean. And I'm just going to say this. Sometimes Christians are some of the meanest folks on the planet. I'm just sorry. But we came out of their church hurt. We came out of there broken. We came out of there like, "Where are you, God?" We were like, "What is wrong with these people?" And we were kind of at the end of our rope. And we were like, "I don't know if I could do this anymore. If this is what Christianity is, I don't want anything to do with it." And so I was like kind of at the end of my rope, and we were hurting. And we did feel like, okay, God wanted us to go check out this church in San Marcos. And so we showed up, and we were the folks in the back that were just crying like babies. We heard the worship music, and it was like, well, we just couldn't help it. We were just weeping. And at the time, Promised Land only had about 100 people in the church 14 years ago. And so we came in, and we were those weirdos in the back just crying every service. But we were hurt. We were broken. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know who to turn to. And we really felt like, where is God? We just were looking for God. We were looking for God. We felt like everything we knew had fallen apart. The people we had trusted, we just went away. And we were just so church hurt. Church hurt. And then something started to happen here. God began to use people from Promised Land to gather around us. Not all at once, but just like those folks that went down to Victoria, 32 of them, they went down to fix something that was broken. They were used by God by like his hands and his feet to fix something that's broken. And we felt so broken. And we began to just feel the love of God in Promised Land. Pastor Robin and Erica, they came around us, and the whole church came around us, and they began to love on us. And they began to put us back together. Piece by piece by piece. It wasn't overnight, but we began to feel the love of God. And I want to tell you this, that God wants to use you to photobomb somebody's life. You see what the church did? The church did is they surrounded us. They loved on us. They just came around at a time where we felt like giving up. I remember one of the first services that I heard Pastor Robin preach. I don't remember the content of the sermon. I just remember one thing. He showed a scene from the movie The Matrix, which was my absolute favorite movie ever. But he showed this scene that had Morpheus offering Neo the red pill or the blue pill. And that was my favorite scene of the movie. So I turned to my wife and I said, this is the coolest church on the planet. This was awesome. So I loved it. But God used the people of Promised Land to put us back together. God used Pastor Erica and Pastor Robin to put us back together. And I want to tell you that's what God has to work with. God uses people to photobomb other people to show them the love of God. And in closing, I began to think of, you know, the old 35 millimeter cameras, the one that had real film in them. Remember, if you took the back off the camera, you would ruin everything. You'd expose the film. I did that a couple times as a kid on accident. But in that camera, on the very front of that camera, when that film is in the camera, it's absolute darkness. That film is enveloped in absolute darkness. On the very front of that camera is what's called an iris. The iris, its job is to open up for just a fraction of a second. And when it opens up for a fraction of a second, it lets light come in for just a moment. And that light imprints itself on that film, on a frame, and it stays forever when that iris closes. And I began to think about that light. That light is like the love of Jesus. That light, for just a fraction of a second, if you feel the love of Jesus in your life, it changes us. And so you may be out and about with people, and there might be a lot going on. You may be on your job. There's so many things that are going on in the day, but if you would stop for a second and show somebody the love of Jesus, it will leave an imprint on their heart forever. And I'm talking about, it could be something as simple as a hug. You know how powerful a hug is to somebody that's almost ready to give up? A hug. Or prayer. Or coming alongside somebody saying, hey, I'm with you and I'm praying for you. You are imprinting on their heart the love of Jesus. And that is so incredibly powerful. For just a fraction of a second, God can do so much. Look what God did with a flash of light with Saul of Tarsus. Many of you may know that Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul that God used in a mighty way. The Apostle Paul, God used him to write over half of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul. And so what would happen if we showed the love of God to somebody? If we photobombed somebody's frame? If we got into their picture and showed the love of God, what could happen? What could happen? I'm going to tell you that I'm standing here today because some people photobombed my life. Because I was about to give up. Throw in the towel, I was done. But the love of God, it surrounded me. It put us back together, piece by piece. That is the power of a moment. That is the power of being in somebody else's life. God wants to use you to photobomb someone's life. And I want to quickly give you a couple opportunities on how that this can be made possible in your life. This is a Promise Group directory, and really what this is a directory of all of our small groups. We've got a ton of small groups, 54 small groups kicked off last Sunday. And what these groups are, really what they are, is just people getting together and discipling each other. And what that means is all they're doing is showing the love of Jesus to each other. And I have heard of so many amazing things that have happened this week in these groups. People's lives are changing. People are getting encouraged. People are getting put back together in these groups. And why? Because God uses people like you and me to help put other people back together. And there'll be a time where God will have to use somebody else to put you back together. So I want to challenge you. If you haven't gotten into a small group, please do. You'll find one of these in the back of your chair, or you'll find one out there in the lobby. But just step out in faith and do that. I promise you, it's the most amazing thing you can do. I've got another opportunity for you to show the love of Jesus. I want to invite Matt up on the stage here. Matt is with an organization called Family Link, and it's a foster care to adoption organization. Matt, tell us about the mission of Family Link.
Yeah, so our organization exists to find safe, loving homes for children who've been removed from their families because of abuse or neglect by Child Protective Services. So we're trying to find good, solid, loving Christian homes for these kids.
There's a lot of those here.
I'm hoping so.
But tell us, you had mentioned that there was this young man that was in a really rough situation. Tell us what God did.
Yeah, so this is a really powerful story that we've seen over the last year. This child was 3 years old. He was removed from his biological family and put into one of our foster homes. But while he was with his biological family, he suffered some of the worst abuse and trauma that I've ever seen. He was abused by his mother, his grandmother, his grandfather, just all kinds of terrible situations this child had been through. So when he first came into this foster home, as you can imagine, this little three-year-old couldn't process these emotions and these feelings, this trauma that he had been through, and so he acted out a lot. He had some aggressive behaviors. He was hitting the other children in the home, hitting the dog, just yelling, just angry all the time. He actually sent his little baby sister to the ER by hitting her. Just couldn't handle what was going on inside his little body, and so we weren't sure what was going to happen with this little boy, but this, you know, loving family just took him in and really committed to just loving on him and showing the love of God to this little boy. And now he's come so far in just a short time. You know, even back in the summer, we weren't sure if he'd be able to go to school this year because of his aggressive behaviors. But now he's been in school for the last month and has really shown a lot of progress. He's not nearly as aggressive anymore. Still a long way to go, but you know, this family has poured so much love and grace into him that it's really transformed his life.
Oh, amen. Let's give God some praise for that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So Matt, tell us how we can find out about more about Family Link, about foster care to adoption, and
yeah,
just tell us about that.
Absolutely.
How we can find out
one of my colleagues and I, we're going to be in room 316 in the other building after service. If you have questions, if you're curious, you want to know more, we'd love to talk to you, answer any questions. And there's other opportunities to volunteer and that sort of thing. You may not be called to be a foster parent at this time, but there's still other ways to help photobomb these kids that need some love.
That was good, man.
That
was good.
Trying to tie
Let's
it
give
in.
Matt a hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're so talking about being the hands and feet of Jesus. There are some amazing families in this church. And what would happen if you opened up your home to show the love of Jesus to one of these kids? Amen. I believe that the greatest ability is availability. And when we make ourselves available to God, what He can do will blow your mind. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's pray. God, we just come to you this morning and thank you, God, that you were there all along. God, even when we couldn't see you, even in the darkest night, you were there. And Lord God, you are with us. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And I thank you, God, that you've been there every step of the way, in every detail, in every moment, in the good times, in the bad times. Jesus, you were in every frame. And so, Lord, today we give our heart back to you. Lord, we ask that you help us recognize you in everything. And Lord, if we trust in you with all our heart, and your word says, if we lean not on our own understanding, that says you in all our ways, you will direct us, you will lead us, you will guide us. So God, we look to you today. We know you are with us. And we thank you, God, for what you are doing in our lives. And Lord, use us to photobomb somebody else's life. Use us to show the love and kindness to others, to be available to them, to be your hands and your feet. And we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Can we give God some praise this morning? Amen. We want you to know that at the end of every service that we'll have leaders that want to pray with you or continue to pray with you. And we also want you to know that we offer baptism at the end of every service as well. What better way to start this year? off is by going down in a watery grave with Jesus, by taking on his name, by starting a fresh start with walking with God. So we've got a pastor, we've got water, we've got towels, we've got clothes. We will take away every excuse you have to not be baptized. So if you want to be baptized, we are ready for you. Go and see one of our ushers or hostesses. But if you need to go, go in the name of Jesus and photobomb somebody's life this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.